Birth, the Grand Division, Chapter 6. Boris's FedEx route covered half of Almaty. It was easy enough these days because most of the big oil field business had been sold to the Chinese. The space program had withdrawn as well and was being run almost entirely out of Moscow. After all, it could hardly be distinguished from the military side of the program. It used to be that way for the U.S. programs until the whole space shuttle program was scuttled for cash to buy votes for the Democrats. It would be amusing if it wasn't so tragic to see thousands of technicians and geniuses tossed out onto the streets without mercy or another glance from the American government, so the president could take the cost of their salaries and give it to his wife for elaborate vacations. He smiled as he followed his GPS to a new address near the outside of town. 8 vacations in the first 18 months in office. He rubbed his temples with his left hand as he let the steering wheel come back to the center on a street he had not traveled before. $2,500 a night for hotel rooms for her and her friends, while 7,000 engineers, capable of reaching another star system, went back to teaching high school somewhere. What the hell, he said, shaking the previous night's vodka fog from his forehead. Kazakhs, expatriate Russians, and German descendants who lived here now struggled for income from a community that did not naturally circulate very much cash in the economy. His generation remembered receiving a salary, having a place to stay, a nice job title, and access to health care with only slight inconvenient delays. Oh, freedom was great, but there were times when the old dependable bureaucracy offered a certain measure of comfort. He stepped on the brakes and brought his step van to a stop in front of an old factory. Looks like the lights are on. Let's see if someone is home to sign for this box, he said as he slid to the ground out the driver's door and began walking back to the roll-up door of his van. He grabbed up the box and verified the label. From China. Well, that's not uncommon around here, he mumbled. From Hangzhou Linan Jinlan Cable Factory and to Rapid Change Inc. Well, damn, doesn't look like a hub of commerce. Oh well. He walked to the door and pulled on the aluminum handle. Shit, locked. He backed up a few steps and looked up to see if there was anyone at a desk in a window of the second floor of this old building. As he tilted his head back, the deadbolt for the door clicked loudly. A young man with a dark tattoo on the left side of his face opened the door. "Can you sign for this?" he said with his FedEx professionalism. "Hang on, please," said the young man with the tattoo. Within less than a minute, a man in a white smock came to the door and took off his gloves. "Sorry for the delay," said the man. "We're just starting up, and this is our first delivery. Next time, can you bring your van around the side here?" he said, pointing around to the corner of the building. "We're going to be working in the back most of the time. We're lucky we saw you." "Sure, no problem, sir. I will make a note in my log." "Can you sign, please?" asked Boris. "Sure, sure, no worries. Oh, with my finger. Yes, yes, no problem." "Thank you, sir. Have a wonderful day," said Boris. "Thanks again," said the man as he pulled the door closed, spun the deadbolt, and disappeared down the hallway. Boris returned to his driver's seat and slipped his belt unconsciously into the buckle before turning the key to start the motor. It was after lunch already, and he had a good load to still deliver. He blew out his pursed lips and shifted the truck into drive. "Another late shift," he said. He liked to think about the companies he was visiting sometimes. It occupied his imagination and made the day go faster. Being a FedEx driver was one of the best-paying positions in the company. They made it that way, so the best people would try for and hold on to the job that actually made them money. Rapid Change Inc., he thought. Yeah, not around here. "Such a small box of Chinese-made fiber-optic cables," he said as he pulled back onto the central avenue for Almaty. "Definitely wasn't a whole roll," he breathed in a full breath, trying to re-energize the overcast afternoon. "Computers, probably." His pre-routed GPS program pulled up the next location. Within a few minutes, he turned onto a frontage road around the stadium and then right down an alley to the back of a multi-story combination building. Restaurants were on the top floors so that the vents could be directed to the outside, high above the city streets downtown. Many people lived in town, also worked in town, and they didn't own cars. It was common to see living quarters, banks, doctor's offices, and cafes all in the same address on different floors. He gathered up the FedEx packs and small boxes and headed up the elevator to make his deliveries with his two-wheeled dolly loaded to his chin. Almaty was a hub of commerce for towns up to 200 miles away. The city simply could not exist without logistics, and in this part of the world, rapid delivery was necessary, as most of the contact with the outside world was virtual. Each year, his load factors would increase, and it was encouraging to see high technologies still thriving here in the city. New companies seemed to start up every month, but it seemed everyone was doing a small amount of business. He restacked the shipments to go out and headed back down to his van. It was getting dark later and later. Soon it would be summer, which was at least easier on the heating bills at night. It was sometimes cheaper, even at 2,500 rubles per bottle, to purchase an occasional bottle of Kremlin Award cognac and pour a copious amount into his crystal snifter. He loved the flavor better than vodka, especially when he combined it with premium Rocky Patel cigars. The snifter was a perk from his days in the Energy Bureau. His wife complained it made him snore, but otherwise she worshipped the ground under his purple FedEx running shoes. He rolled down his door after placing the shipments on the racks and slid into his seat again. He pressed the index icon on his GPS and the next location came onto the screen. He knew the area well. He used to be the construction hangar for rocket stages. The route took him by the river where water was pumped into rows of cooling towers and then spilled back out into the river. It was glacier-fed and no one seemed to mind in those days that the steaming pipes ran 24 hours a day. Within 20 minutes, he turned into what used to be the largest employer in the city. Now the roads were in poor repair, and there were few cars parked in front of one or two buildings. Building H4, he said as he flipped his shifter into park and turned off the motor. "Hello, old friend," he said as he grabbed a long cardboard tube and four square boxes that weighed about 20 kilos each from the stack. "Suncraft Sports. Coming from Hanover, Germany," he read to himself as he stacked the boxes onto his two-wheeled dolly. It used to house the finest machine shop in the country, but it had been closed since 1991 when Kazakhstan declared its independence from the Soviet Union. The glass looked like it had been recently tinted from the inside, and there were two Citroën sedans parked near the front door. He swung open the door, blocked it with his left foot, and wheeled the cart into the small lobby behind him and stepped in behind the handles like a dancer holding on to his date. There was a young receptionist sitting at a computer terminal in the window. He plucked the wireless handheld from his belt loop and turned it so the receptionist could see the screen. "Sign, please," he said with a smile. She placed the tethered stylus in her thin hand. He noticed her perfectly manicured nails and a slender wrist threaded through a diamond and ruby tennis bracelet. "Danke schön," she said with a voice like an angel in impeccable high German. "You are most welcome," he said. "Is there anything to go?" "Not right now," she said in flawless Russian. He smiled and wheeled his dolly out the door and back to the van. "This sports my ass," he mumbled, as he popped the dolly back onto its bracket and rolled the door closed. Maybe it was the deception under which he worked his entire life. Maybe it was just watching too many Russia Today YouTubes or knowing Vladimir too well. The whole world was being told that Syria was in the crossfire of an urban civil war, while the natural gas deal of the century was going down behind the scenes. the slick ISIS marketing plan produced by high-end British media companies was siphoning hundreds of billions in gold and cash to build a caliphate. And the nutcase Erdogan actually crowned himself the default leader of the Islamic State. Now, these little fake companies hiding in Almaty were materializing like caterers to a hockey game. "That cognac will taste good tonight," he said as he put his hands in front of the heater vents and rubbed them together before gripping the wheel with his left hand and sliding the shifter with two fingers on his right hand into reverse. "Now where?" he said to his GPS unit.